Okay. Well, Noji, can you hear me okay? It's been about 2.5 months since Noji's translated, so thank you, Noji. It's good to have you back. You know, these last few weeks, I've been thinking about the difference between houses in Japan and in America, right? In America, if Carolyn laughs, in America, if you live in a house, if you own a house, and the house becomes too old or too small or for some reason undesirable, in America, we just sell our house and we buy a new one, right? That's, you just change house, right? In fact, my brother just recently, he just moved into his third different house in 20 years. So he's younger than me, right? But he bought a house, he sold it, bought another one, sold it, and now he's in his third house. And that's what you do in America. But Japan's kind of different, right? If you own a piece of property and you have a house and your house becomes maybe too small or too old or for some reason undesirable, what do? You tear it down, right? You tear it down, and on that same property, you build a new house. And you know, that's kind of a really good way to do it, I think. When we were in Suwanomori, when we lived here in Sakai, we just lived about 5 blocks from the train station. And in the 8 years we lived there, I think there were 3 houses that just one day they were gone, and then 2 months later there was a new house there. People tore down the old house and built up a new house. And I think sometimes that really is the best way. You know, you can try to remodel the inside of your house, you know, make a new kitchen and make a new this and do that. But sometimes, you know, it's hard to remodel. Sometimes the best way is just to tear down and then build it up. And even as you do that, it doesn't mean that the old house was completely bad, right? I mean, sometimes there's good things about a house, and you're going to miss that about this certain house. But sometimes just the best way to build something new is to first tear down something old. Well, friends, that's kind of what we're doing in our current message series, right? As we are talking about rethinking church, exploring God's heart for the church, right? We want to look at what God's Word and what the Bible has to say about being the church, about being the family of God. And unfortunately, over the last, 1,800 years or so, right, man has been adding a lot of things into church, right? This man has added just traditions and practices and ways of thinking that, to be honest, don't really reflect God's heart. We don't really find them in the Word of God. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're bad, right? But, well, sometimes I think these things that we've added into the church, they do sometimes prevent us from actually walking with Jesus and prevent us from being the people God wants us to be, right? And therefore, our desire in this series is to kind of want to tear down some of those thinkings so that we can build up a new way of thinking, hopefully a kingdom way of thinking, a biblical way of thinking. And actually, we saw an example of this last week. Last week, we started talking about leadership in the church, if you were here. And we asked the question, who is our leader? Here at SIBC, or who's the leader of the church here? And I think most Christians around the world would point to the pastor and say, oh, the pastor, he's the leader of the church, right? As the pastor looks to God and listens to God and follows God, the church then looks to the pastor, listens to the pastor, and follows the pastor. And that's kind of been a common practice in church around the world for hundreds of years. But last week we saw, friends, that was not God's heart. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that God never intended to have a human leader stand between him and his people. Right? We saw that God alone wanted to be the people's king. God alone wanted to be their shepherd. Right? God alone wanted to be their leader. And then along came Jesus, and Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and he alone. Jesus says that he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way. Jesus says he's the only one who stands between us and God. So friends, the pastor's not the leader of the church. Jesus is, right? And that's really important, I think, for us to understand, because as long as we have our eyes on a human leader, whether it's a pastor or a Christian leader or a favorite author or just anyone we like to look to, as long as we're looking to them, then that's preventing us from looking to Jesus. Right? As long as we have our eyes on another human being, then we'll never really learn how to follow Jesus for ourselves. And friends, we never want a human leader to become a replacement or a substitute for Jesus in our lives, right? We want to look to Jesus and Him alone. right? And so that's kind of an example of how we're wanting to tear down old ways of thinking and build up new ways of thinking, because it is true that sometimes our old way of thinking about church actually prevents us from actually learning how to follow Jesus and look to Jesus for ourselves. So if you were here last week, I hope that you didn't think that I was trying to tear down pastors or tear down church leaders. Instead, we're going after that paradigm, a way of thinking about church leaders and pastors that sometime maybe doesn't reflect the heart of God. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3:3 actually talks about this, right? It says there's a time to tear down and a time to build. And that might actually be talking about like real buildings and things, right? But I think it applies to a lot of things in life. Sometimes we need to tear down so that we can build, right? In order to build a new house, we need to tear down the old one sometime. And that's what we're doing in this series. In order to build up a kingdom understanding of what it means to be the people of God, sometimes we need to tear down. And we're not doing that to be critical. We're not doing that to be judgmental. We're doing it so that we can build something that truly reflects the heart of God. Does that kind of make sense? I hope so. Good. Okay, well, today we are going to continue talking about leadership in the church. In fact, for the next 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to talk about leadership in the church. And not only is this an important topic, but I think that leadership in the church is one of the areas maybe in Christianity where we have maybe wandered the most from what reflects the heart of God. I think maybe church leadership is one of the ways that we've wandered the farthest from what the Bible actually teaches. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about church leadership, rethinking church leadership. So today we want to continue by looking at Matthew 23. So if you actually have your Bibles, we're going to read today. Okay, we're reading Matthew 23. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. It says this. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you only have one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call one another on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." All right, so friends, here Jesus is speaking to the crowds of people and speaking to his disciples, and he warns them about the Pharisees and about the religious teachers of the day. And Jesus says some pretty strong things about these leaders. He says that these leaders, they actually want to look good in front of the other people. Right? Their religious acts are not done for God, but they're done to gain the praises of man. It says they like to receive honor. They like to be treated as important. They like people to use certain titles, right, when they address them, like rabbi. On top of that, it says these religious leaders, well, they use their authority, their position to control people, to tell them what to do. They expect people to obey them, right? They place burdens on others. They prefer being served rather than serving others, and they don't do the very things that they expect others to do. So friends, basically Jesus is saying these religious people are arrogant, proud, self-centered hypocrites. And that's why Jesus says in verse 3, he says, don't be like them. Don't do what they do. And that's really good advice for all of us, right? Whether we are a rabbi or a religious teacher or not, that's just really good advice from Jesus. Right? But then in verse 11 and 12, Jesus goes on to say that instead we are to be willing to serve one another, right? We are to live humbly before one another. And again, that's just great, great advice on how we are to do life together. But friends, this morning, the part of this passage I really want to focus on is verses 8 to 10. Right? If you look at verses 8 to 10, Jesus kind of gives three just really incredible statements. And I think he's saying the same thing maybe three times in just three, or the same thing in three different ways. But Jesus is really trying to make his point very clear in these three verses. And I think if we were to understand this and apply this to our lives, it would greatly impact how we do life together here at SIBC. So let's go ahead and read verses 8 through 10 one by one. And actually, in English, I'm going to put up a different version from the one we just read. We just read New International Version. I'm going to put up New American Standard Version because it matches the Japanese better, so it's easier for Noji to translate. And you'll see why in just a minute here. But let's start by reading verse 8. Ready, Noji? Right, Jesus says this. He says, "Do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers." Right, so Jesus says to this crowd of people that they are not to be called rabbi. Right, and in Japanese it says sensei. You know, don't be called sensei. And that's what rabbi means, right? A rabbi was a teacher. A rabbi was an educated man who had students and followers and, well, people who studied under him. In fact, Jesus was a teacher, right? And Jesus had disciples. That's why he was often called rabbi. Now, I don't know how many people in the group that he was talking to were actually rabbis, right? Or maybe Jesus wasn't so much talking to the crowd at the time. Maybe he was talking specifically to his disciples, right? But he says, "Hey guys, don't let anyone call you teacher. Don't let anyone call you rabbi or sensei." And the reason Jesus gives is because they only have one teacher, he says. Right? "For one is your teacher." Now, Jesus doesn't say who the teacher is, but I think in the next two verses that becomes very, very clear. But let's go on to verse 9. Look what Jesus says. Verse 9 says this, "And do not call anyone on earth Father, for one is our Father, he who is in heaven." All right, so Jesus says, don't call anyone Father. And what's he talking about here? Is he saying that, you know, Luke can't call me Father? All right, well, obviously not, because Jesus is talking about spiritual leaders here, right? He's talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. He's talking about spiritual leaders. But Jesus says that the word Father is not one that we are to give to another person. Right, the word father here would refer to a spiritual father, maybe someone who is a Christian, an older Christian who maybe has helped us to grow up in our faith. It might refer to someone who's like a mentor or a teacher to us. And in fact, Paul actually uses this word father for himself in 1 Corinthians 4. Paul, writing to all the Christians in Corinth, he calls himself their father in the gospel. And obviously, Paul wasn't the biological father of all of the Corinthian church, right? He was their spiritual father. And we still kind of talk like that today, don't we? In the Catholic Church, what do we call priests? We call them fathers, right? And in Buddhism or Shintoism here in Japan, do you call the priest father? You don't use the word? No? Okay. But either way, Jesus, right, when he's talking about father, talking about spiritual leader, right? And Jesus says, we're not to call anyone Father. We're not to look to anyone as a father figure in our spiritual walk with God, because Jesus makes it very clear that we only have one Father, and that's our Heavenly Father. God alone is our spiritual Father. So says Jesus. And then in verse 10, Jesus continues, and Jesus says this, "And do not be called leaders," he says, "for one is your leader, that is Christ." Now, actually, this word here that Jesus uses for leader, it's actually it's the only time in the whole Bible that this word is used. So we actually don't really know exactly what he meant when he used this word. And that's why in the New International Version, it actually says teacher here. Because we don't really know what it means and how it's different from teacher. The verb form of this word actually means to lead or to teach or to guide. So we're just assuming that the noun form is like a leader or a teacher or something. But friends, whatever this word here means, Jesus says, well, there's only one, and it's him. Whether it's a teacher or a leader or a guide, Jesus says, it's him. He's the only teacher, the only leader, the only guide that we have. And of course, this is what we talked about last week, right? We talked about how God never intended to have a human being stand in between us and God. God never intended for us to follow another person. That includes a pastor, any kind of spiritual leader, because Jesus alone is our leader. So, here in verses 8 through 10, we have Jesus basically saying the same thing just three times, right? Each time he changes the word, he changes the image just a little bit so it's absolutely clear what we're supposed to be learning from this. Friends, when we consider our spiritual life, when we consider our relationship with God, our Christian walk, we have one teacher, one father, one leader. And that person is Jesus. And if you think about that for a moment, that's really a pretty incredible thing to say. One teacher, one father, one leader, and it's Jesus. Now, actually, there are two things that I think we can learn just from these three verses that Jesus talks about this morning. And one of the things we're going to look at today, the second thing we're going to save for 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we're going to look at these same three verses, and we're going to kind of look at the second thing I think Jesus is saying here. But friends, for today, I really want to focus on what Jesus said in verse 8, right? Jesus says we only have one teacher. He alone is our teacher. Friends, how do you understand that? What do you think Jesus is talking about? Is Jesus saying that we really only have one teacher? Is Jesus really our only teacher? And I ask this because when I read the Bible, it seems to me like there were actually many teachers in the early church, right? In fact, let me just show you a couple examples here. Right, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, kind of giving them their final instructions. And Jesus says this. Jesus says, therefore go make disciples of all nations, but teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Right, Jesus says, I'm the only teacher you have, but now I want you to go out and be a teacher. And you know what? That's exactly what the disciples did. Take a look in Acts chapter 5. It says this, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they, the disciples, never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. All right, so here we see that the disciples, they did what Jesus told them to do. They went out and they taught. They were teachers. Friends, the Apostle Paul did the same thing. Everywhere Paul went on his missionary journeys, he taught people. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:11, look what Paul says about himself. Paul says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. So Paul says he's a teacher. So is Paul like contradicting Jesus? Jesus says he's the only teacher, but now Paul's calling himself a teacher, right? Or take a look at Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, right, the author, he's actually scolding these Christians because they were not yet mature enough to become teachers. Look, Hebrews 5:12 says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. See, his expectation was they should be mature enough now to be teachers themselves, but they weren't. And he has to kind of scold them. But he expected these Christians to be teachers. But Jesus is our teacher, so how does that work out? And then I think maybe the best example, Ephesians 4. This is Paul writing. Look what he says in verses 11 and 12. It was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up. So friends, here we see that God's plan, God's heart, is that there would be teachers in the church. Although Jesus said that he's our only teacher, Jesus then assigned some people to actually be teachers in the church, right? The church needs teachers, so God has actually given some people the privilege and the responsibility to teach people and to build up the church. So, The Bible seems very clear that there are actually many teachers in the church besides Jesus. And this is good. This is the way it's supposed to be. And yet Jesus says there's only one teacher, and it's Him. So which is it? How many teachers do we have in the church? Here at SIBC, who is our teacher? Why are you laughing, Chris? Because you know the answer, huh? Friends, I think there's a verse in 1 John that helps us understand, I think, what Jesus is saying. So in 1 John, this is the Apostle John. Look what he writes. He says this. As for you, speaking to the Christians he's writing to, he's speaking to us. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. Right, the Apostle John says we have an anointing from Him, from Jesus. And this anointing is what? It's the Holy Spirit, right? John says right here, and that anointing, the Holy Spirit, He remains in you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, John then says an amazing thing here at the end. He says that we do not need anyone to teach us. Wow. Which is kind of a funny thing for him to say, because as he's doing this, he's teaching the people, right? But he's saying you don't need anyone to teach you. Now, I don't think John's saying you don't need teachers, right? Because he was a teacher in the body of Christ. And we just saw from the Bible that teachers are a good and necessary part of the body of Christ. But friends, what I think John is saying here is that ultimately it's not a person who teaches us. Rather, it's the Holy Spirit. No matter how good a human teacher might be, no matter how much you might learn from that teacher, from that particular person, friends, it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who is teaching you. You kind of see the difference? Right? This is actually what Jesus says, John chapter 14. Jesus says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You see, friends, it's the Holy Spirit living in us. He's our teacher. Anything that we learn, it says all things, anything that we learn about the Christian faith, about Jesus, about what it means to be the church, it all comes from the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. Just two chapters later in John 16, Jesus says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. You see, friends, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. The Holy Spirit teaches us all truth. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot know and understand spiritual things. Even if you're really smart, like some of you are, we're not smart enough to understand and to comprehend the things of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit because He is our teacher. Friends, and in this way, we have one teacher, right? And the teacher is Jesus, right? Because the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God. It's one and the same. Friends, Jesus is indeed our teacher. And He's the only teacher. All that we know, all that we can understand, all the ways that we learn and grow, it all comes through Jesus. Now, having said this, Jesus might teach us in a number of different ways, right? Jesus might teach us through another person. As I stand here each week, I hope and pray that Jesus somehow teaches you through the things that I say. But if you leave here on Sunday afternoon and you feel like you've been built up and you've been encouraged in your faith, it's really nothing I did. Rather, it was the work of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit just took something that maybe was said, and He made that come alive to you. He gave you understanding. He's the one who gave you revelation about that. You see, that's Jesus. And it's not me. So friends, Jesus can teach us through another person, but you know, Jesus can also teach us just directly, right? That's what He does. He's the teacher. As we spend time alone with Jesus, as we open up our hearts to the Word of God, as we just ask Jesus to be our teacher, friends, He'll do that. Friends, Jesus wants to do that, right? He wants to be our teacher. And as Christians, I think we need to learn to trust Jesus more to be our teacher. Because it's really easy just to look to another person, huh? To be our teacher. We'll go to church and see what the pastor has to say to me today. Right? And we look to a teacher, a pastor, a religious leader to help us understand the Bible. We look to another person to help us explain how to live the Christian life and what to do and how to serve and all these things. It's really easy to look to another person to be our teacher. But Jesus says we have only one. Right? And it's Him. Friends, we do not want to have a human being, a teacher, stand between us and God. Right? A pastor, any kind of spiritual leader, should never replace Jesus in our lives as our teacher. They never become a substitute for Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone is our teacher, and so we want to look to Him. Does that make sense? It sounds really simple, but I don't know about you, but I know I struggle with that. I have my podcast that I listen to and I go hiking and I get all sorts of ideas and things from them. And it's really easy for me to look to them as my teacher, to look to them to help me learn how to live the Christian life. But they're not my teacher. Jesus is. And so I think as we kind of try to understand how this works, I think maybe there's two things here that are good to keep in mind. And I'll share these with you and then we'll kind of wrap it up here. But the first one is this. Friends, I really encourage you to trust the time that you spend alone with God. Trust the time that you spend alone with God. Friends, the Bible plus the Holy Spirit living in you plus Jesus as your teacher plus an open heart, that's just a wonderful combination right there. God can do so much right there with the Bible, an open heart, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. I think if we were just to take time just with those four, I think Jesus could do so much in our hearts, so much in our lives. See, but sometimes as Christians, we lack the confidence to read the Bible and understand the Bible for ourselves. Right? And so we look to other teachers, to leaders to help us. And yeah, there's a place for that. But friends, here's the deal. With the help of Jesus, we can understand. With the help of Jesus, we can know the Bible. We can understand the things that we read. We can learn, right? You can learn. You can understand. Maybe you haven't been to seminary, but it doesn't really matter. Who cares? Because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And He's the Spirit of truth. And so, friends, do not underestimate the time that you spend alone with your Bible and an open heart talking to God. Because Jesus is our teacher. And Jesus can do more in that time, maybe than you even imagine. And I know that Jesus can be a much better teacher to you than any human being ever could. Because no matter how hard I try to teach, I don't know what's going on in your heart right now. I just pick a general message and throw it out there and hope it, you know, helps someone. But Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your heart right now. There's no better teacher we could ever have than Jesus. So, friend, as we understand Jesus as our one and only teacher, man, I think that should encourage us to spend time with Him. It should motivate us to look to Him, to read our Bibles, and to trust Him to be our teacher. He wants to do that. Now, before we go on to the second thing I want to quickly share, it's good to talk about that, right? But next week, we're actually going to practice that. So next week, there isn't going to be a message. And what we're going to do is we're going to come together, we're going to read a passage of Scripture together, and we're going to ask Jesus to be our teacher. And then we're going to break up into small groups, and we're going to have a chance just to kind of share what we think Jesus is teaching to us, and that I think that'll be a really good time for all of us really to learn how to look to Jesus as we read the Word of God, instead of just coming to hear another guy who was reading the Word of God, right? So we're actually going to practice some of this next week, so I think that'll be something we can look forward to. So that's the first thing I want to say, friends. Trust the time alone you spend with God. As you spend time reading the Bible, Jesus can and does want to be your teacher. But the second thing I think for us to keep in mind is this. When we do have an opportunity to listen to a teacher like we're doing right now. Friends, please remember that teacher is not your teacher. Right? That person might be teaching you, but they're not your teacher. Ultimately, your teacher is Jesus. So even as you listen to another person teach, whether it's on the radio or online or here at SIBC, right, in your heart, I hope you're thinking, Jesus, what do you want to teach me today? Right? Jesus, what do you want to say to me through this person? Right? And in your own heart, you're looking to Jesus to be your teacher. You're actually listening to Jesus and not just the voice of the person talking to you. So friends, when you come here on Sunday morning, my heart is that you would come here not to listen to me. Well, I wonder what Michael's going to talk about today. Oh, the series is so good. I just can't wait to hear what he has to say this week. Friends, I don't want that to be why you come to church. Now, if you come here and you somehow like the messages, and I'm thankful for that. But friends, please don't look to me as your teacher. Instead, when you come here in the morning, I pray that your heart, your desire will be, Jesus, what do you have for me today? Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? Jesus, please be my teacher today. See, because if you come with that heart, then maybe I'll say something. And Jesus will be able to use that to teach you. But Jesus might also teach you in another way. Right? Maybe someone else will be giving the message that day. And instead of being disappointed, oh, Michael's not here. It could be someone else could speak to you. Right? God could speak to you through someone else. Maybe God could speak to you through a testimony or through a prayer that someone prays. God might speak to you through the communion time or the worship time or the fellowship time. See, if you come here looking to one person to be your teacher, then you might miss all the other ways that God might want to teach you and speak to you when we gather here. And that's why we never want to come looking to a person. We always want to come looking to Jesus. Because He's our teacher. He's the one who teaches us. Friends, I don't know if that makes sense or not. Somehow in my own mind, it kind of does. But friends, we do have one teacher, and His name is Jesus. So on Sundays and then Monday through Saturdays, we want to look to Him and no one else. Well, as I prepare to close, I want to make sure that I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. Whereas my desire here is not to criticize pastors or teachers or anything. Rather, my desire here is to lift up Jesus. I want to restore Jesus to the place of supremacy in the church. Right? I want to lift up Jesus to the place where when we come here on Sunday morning, we're looking to no one but Jesus. Friends, the church belongs to Jesus, right? It's His church, and therefore we want Jesus to be supreme over all that we do. And here at SIBC, we talk a lot about Jesus, and we sing about Jesus. But my greatest fear is that sometimes these are just empty words. That we say Jesus is the head, and we say Jesus is the center. But maybe He's not. And friends, my desire is that Jesus would in fact, not just in theory, not just in words, but that Jesus would in fact become the center of everything we do here at SIBC. Friends, we want to look to Jesus and no one else. No one stands between you and God. No one besides Jesus stands between me and God. We have one teacher, one Father, one leader, and it's Jesus. And so once again, we see the Christian life is all about Jesus, right? So friends, here's the question. Who do you look to? Who is your teacher? And I hope that it's Jesus. I hope that it's only Jesus. So when we come here on Sunday, I hope our prayer is, Jesus, please be my teacher today. As we spend time reading our Bibles during the week, I hope our prayer is, Jesus, please be my teacher today. As we just go through the daily routine of life, our prayer should all the time be, Jesus, please be my teacher today. Friends, this is God's heart for the church. This is God's heart for you and for me. Okay, well, we're going to take time now to come before the Lord. And we just want to encourage you to take this time to listen to God, to talk to God. If you need to confess your sins before the Lord, please just take time to do that now. All right, we also have communion available today. right? This Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, to give us new life. And if you would like to remember the work of Jesus, then celebrate that. Please feel free to participate in that. All right, we also have offering box available this morning. If you would like to give offering as an act of worship, as an act of obedience, as an act of love, then the offering box is in the back of the room. And finally, you can just join us as we worship Jesus here this morning. Right? If you want to stay in your seats, that's fine. If you want to stand in the back or dance in the aisle, just whatever, in whatever way you want to worship God, we want to give you the freedom to do that today. So let me close in a time of prayer. Jesus, we do thank you that you are our teacher, that you are our Father, that you are our leader. And while it's so easy to say those words, we know that actually living that way is so much harder, because it's so much easier to look to the people around us, to be our leaders, to be our teachers, to be kind of our fathers, the spiritual kind of leaders in our life, people who guide us and help us. And Lord, we do know that you want to use people around us, people in the church. You've given some people the gift of teaching and the ability to teach and communicate. And we thank you for that. But Lord, we never want to replace you with those people in our lives. We always want to look to you. We always want to be seeking to you. We always want our ear listening for your voice before we listen to the voice of another. Jesus, even today, as we take some time just to be silent right now, we ask that you would come and that you would be our teacher. That you would speak the things to our hearts that we need to hear right now. Jesus, we thank you that you want to be this person in our lives. That we don't have to trust ourselves or even another person who may or may not be right. Lord Jesus, we know that all truth comes from you. So we want to look to you first and foremost to be our teacher, to be our leader, to be our Father. We thank you. And we ask now that you would draw near to us as we take this time to draw near to you. Thank you, Jesus.